Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown to Rushville. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine, with care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Rush County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
Good morning. It is Monday, April 15th. It is 5 minutes after 11. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So welcome to it. It is tax day, April 15th, last day to submit your tax returns or to file for an extension. IRS says that they have received more than 100 million tax returns, wow, with tens of millions more expected to be filed. So you might recall that the IRS received tens of billions of dollars in new funding through that Inflation Reduction Act,
yes,
right?
Yes.
One of the things that they wanted to do with all of that money was cut your phone wait time.
Oh, how are they doing?
So if you call the IRS today, you will wait for about 3 minutes compared to the 28 minutes that it used to take.
So they've succeeded.
Yeah.
That's good.
With all that money.
Government, hey, finally, at least somebody did something. Look, the IRS... Okay, so this is I used to have this argument with a very, this person is a very respected accountant here in Central Indiana, and I used to argue this with him all the time, and then the older I got, the more I realized there's probably a point to what he was saying. He used to say, the IRS is not the problem, the tax code is the problem. And people can be mad at the IRS all they want. They said the issue that people should be focused on is fixing the actual tax code itself, because as long as you're going to have this super complex tax code, you're always going to have an IRS. Mm-hmm. And we should make it so that it is incredibly hard to cheat or mislead or whatever on your taxes, and simplify it that regular people can do their taxes and that people like him largely don't have to exist. And the older I get, the more I kind of think there's a lot of merit to what he's saying. Here would be the question that I would ask. Do you ever stop and ponder where all the money goes?
Yes, all the time.
Where does it all go?
Well, you know, we're, what, $34 trillion in debt,
yes,
right now?
I mean, so not only do they take all the money, they've spent $34 trillion beyond the money
extra
they brought in.
Yeah, so right now the money goes to paying down interest.
Well, okay, so Klopfenstein and I did a segment on this on Friday while you were out, that the average person in this country owes $524,000 in their life in taxes, and Indiana is something like $443,000 in their life they will owe towards taxes. That's an insane amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the amount of time and effort and energy that takes for something that you have to expend to not benefit you in many ways in any shape, form, or fashion.
Right. And, you know, producer Carl made the comment earlier, you're being taxed for working. So not only do you have the chore of, oh, hey, you have to go to work, but then the government's going to say, and we're taking some of that.
Well, it's like, and I think about this quite a lot with my second job, because obviously because of inflation and the Republican taxes and the Republicans' refusal to address property taxes in this state, I've gone and worked a second job. And I will think about that as I'm sitting there. I'll think, okay, I'm going to a second job to try to offset the taxes and inflation, mm-hmm, that have been caused by my government. And while I'm at this second job to offset the damage done by my government, I'm having money taken from me by the government.
Right, exactly.
That's insane.
Yeah, you're being punished twice. Okay, so not only does the IRS hope to cut your phone wait times, but as you mentioned, they're digitizing a lot of the documents and they're trying to improve the Where's My Refund tool, which is, you know, online where you can track your refund.
Right.
It's like when you order a pizza from Domino's, they have the pizza tracker.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's being made, it's being shipped out.
Now question, do you, if you owe money to the government, mm-hmm, do you make your payment electronically or do you like to write it on a checkerino and send
it on a check and make them actually go to their bank?
Feel a little more powerful about yourself.
Yeah. So Jefferson Shreve has said that unlike career politicians who don't keep their word,
uh-huh,
he's a business leader who grew a business from the ground up, and today with 26 locations in from the 6th District. He is signing the Taxpayer Protection Pledge.
Oh, get out of here, Casey. You know, many times I've heard these people sign, especially these Republicans in Indiana, these no new taxes, this or that. And they always go, here is the amazing thing to me about the 6th Congressional District. And I think Klopfenstein, Stein, and I talked about this on Friday. The 6th Congressional District, the two front runners are gun grabber Jefferson Shreve, a guy who's, I mean, let's face it, his mayoral campaign imploded when he proposed unconstitutional, illegal gun grabs in the city of Indianapolis. If he had pushed Hogshead to where he was during the riots, he might have had a chance to be mayor of the city of Indianapolis. He is one of the front runners. And Mike Speedy, who has been in the state house since the earth was young and is voted for all those tax increases and government spending as a Republican. And yet these are the two front runners in the 6th. And if you listen to their ads, they are Reagan reincarnated from the grave. And it's like your voting records, or in the case of Shreve, proposed voting record, don't match any of this. Who do we believe is actually going to... Do you know the steps it would take, Casey, at this point to even balance the budget? Screw actually paying down the $34 trillion we owe. Do you know the radical steps necessary to get back to a balanced budget, which we were at in like 1996? It wasn't that long ago that we were actually, hey, we brought in this, we spent this, and everybody's equal the way you are in your life. Our government is so broken that it would take, there's no way in our lifetimes they're ever going to even get back to balancing a budget. And where does it end? This is the question, Casey. Where does it end? Because clearly it isn't $34 trillion. So if these people have no shame to rack up $34 trillion in debt, when would they actually have shame?
Right, exactly. Well, and Jefferson Shreve says that he'll protect the pocketbooks of Hoosiers and take his business experience to Washington, D.C. to fight for a balanced budget and rein in inflation. And, you know, inflation, we're at $34 trillion in debt.
So if you live in the 6th, now there's that Jameson Carrier guy who's kind of interesting, who's also running, and he's obviously... kind of running on border security being a big thing because his son died via a fentanyl overdose.
He was just featured, I believe it was on 60 Minutes recently.
Yeah, and he's an interesting guy, and I think a lot of people feel like he's kind of elevated himself a little bit. But if you had to, okay, let's role play here. Not the way you role played with Chuck Pagano over the weekend. But
right,
let's,
different.
Let's just
completely
role play.
Different.
If you had to make a choice between the gun grabber guy or the guy who has taxed and spent you into oblivion in the state house, which one are you going with, Shreve or Speedy?
Wow.
I mean, you don't have to make that choice, and I don't think you live in the 6th, but I'm just saying,
I
if
don't.
You had to choose.
I'm not eligible to vote in that
who
race.
Who would you rather choose, the guy that's taken all your money or the guy that tried to take your guns?
Yeah, that's a bad option, isn't it?
But these are the people who rise to the forefront. I mean, so think about this. And this is, again, our country is broken because the system by which we elect people is broken. So Jefferson Shreve is an infinitely wealthy person. Don't begrudge him for that. Don't hold that against him. But he has infinite resources to put out whatever message that he wants that you and I would have no access or ability to do. We do not have the money that Jefferson Shreve does. Thus, and again, I'm not a wealth distribution guy. I'm not, you know, soak the rich guy. But in our election system, is that right that one person has more access and ability in our election system than someone else just based on the amount of dollars in their bank account? Is that right? Is that the way we want to have our elections decided? Because let's face it, if you live in Richmond, which is in his district, you probably have no idea about what the gun proposal that he made in the city of
Indianapolis, yeah.
Which is why a lot of people think he's going to win. Mike Speedy, while not personally wealthy, has spent whatever it is, 15, 20 years now, currying favor in the Indiana State House. He has voted to raise people's taxes and delineate other people's money to select groups and individuals who are now likely benefiting and rewarding his run for Congress. You and I,
it's being funded by someone else,
don't have that ability.
Yeah.
So again, is that right? Is that the way we want our elections decided? That a guy who has infinite zeros in his bank account and a guy who has spent 15 or 20 years not voting for us, but voting for special interests and has in turn been rewarded with money to run campaigns would have far more access to revenue to run a campaign than you or I would. Is that how we want our elections to be decided? Is that how we want to elect people?
No, it's not, but it's the way it is right now. You know, and I was talking with somebody at the Front Porch Patriots thing we had with Micah last week.
No, you were not here on Friday. People need to know Casey was a rock star. They were lined up out the door for photos and autographs, and Casey was the star.
But I was talking with somebody who's running, and I believe it's, what, the 5th District? Against Victoria Sparks.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't have the money to go against her. People don't know who I am.
Yeah, this guy is, I think he's a like a commissioner up in Anderson. And interesting guy. I actually watched a forum that he was in, and he was super interesting. And you're right. I mean, it's a three-person race up there. I mean, it's really a two-person race. It's really Goodrich and Victoria, although Raju, just because of that wacky ad that he's running, has gotten a whole bunch of free publicity, but it's probably realistically Chuck Goodrich and Victoria Sparks. What do you have? You have a super rich guy in Chuck Goodrich. And again, not disparaging him. That's great. He made his money the old-fashioned way. He's clearly a very hard worker. But he has infinite zeros in his bank account to run these ads. And then you have Victoria Sparks, who has spent, as a state senator and now a U.S. congressman, years cultivating relationships and voting on things that create favors with people who can write checks to her bank account. Again, and these are the rest of these guys, as that guy was telling you, they have no shot. They're trying to participate in the electoral system, but they have no shot. So, we don't have fair elections in this country because people don't have equal access to the ability to be able to reach voters.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. And really quickly, FBI investigating whether there was any criminal wrongdoing in that crash that brought down the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
Wait. I thought they already declared there was no shenanigans. I thought right out of the gate.
They did. Right out of the gate, within 6 hours, they said it was all in the up and up. Now they're going to investigate to see if anybody on board the ship knew that something was wrong.
Casey, how do you declare something 6 hours in as just this horrific accident? But now what are we, 2 weeks into this?
Yeah.
Now we're going to launch a criminal investigation. If it's on the up and up, why are we launching a criminal investigation?
Yeah, I think part of this has to do with who's going to pay for the damages.
Oh, I see.
We have to hold somebody accountable for this, right?
Yes, that's right.
If it was the people operating the ship and they knew, well, clearly they're at fault, right?
Seems like
it always comes back to the money, Rob.
Really struggle to trust our government these days.
It is 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It's a city that boasts 138 of them. Good morning, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. We're talking about Carmel and the roundabouts.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay, so Carmel has about just over 100,000 residents, right? And they have taken the lead as being the small city that boasts the most roundabouts in the entire country with 138 of them.
I like to say Carmel is a leader in elite living. And or elitist living, either way. And I don't necessarily mean that in a negative light. There are a lot of things that take place in the city of Carmel that only take place in the city of Carmel. And clearly, as ridiculous as some of us may think that some of those things are, the people who live there, now I'm sure there are probably still some townie lifers left there from, you know, the 60s and 70s and even 80s who watched it all kind of develop around them, who are kind of like me on the west side and pissed off about that. But for the most part, the people who live in Carmel have chosen to live there. You know what you're walking into when you choose to buy a house in Carmel. You pay a premium for that. And that's the life that people want.
Okay, so many people will say that they are taking the lead on urban planning and also
that should scare the hell out of
management.
Everyone. You know who else took the lead on urban planning? The Soviet Union, Casey. I remember when I was first elected and they used to talk about things like that. And I would be like, that sounds very, very Soviet Union of us, you know, urban planning.
So the, what, would you call it a revolution? It began in 1996 when they started looking how they were going to improve pedestrian areas flows.
That's when Jim Brainerd was elected the mayor of Carmel. Yep. And look, Jim Brainerd, regardless of what, and he was the mayor until this year, so 28 years or whatever that was, he definitely had a vision of what he wanted that city to be. And he led the charge. And he also was great at consolidating power and keeping a majority. And he never lost. And look, there's a lot of stuff that Carmel does that is grossly irresponsible from a fiscal standpoint, like the reflexive pool, that palladium, taxpayer-funded hotels. I mean, the government has zero business being involved in any of that sort of stuff because it's not for the betterment of the public. But the people there have simply said, and if you look at their school district too, with those school referendums that are pathetic, I mean, they've got multiple school referendums. It's just people don't care. Those people are willing to pay for that stuff. And ultimately, you can't talk people into common sense everywhere all the time.
Okay, well, these roundabouts reportedly have resulted in 80% fewer crashes since they have been built. And John Tossel, he's a former ABC and Fox News reporter. Yeah. If you saw the guy, you would recognize him. He caught up with Jim Brainerd, and they were doing this, John Tossel, he was doing this report on how Carmel replaced nearly every stoplight in town with roundabouts. And here they talk about the whys.
How many times have we been frustrated sitting at an intersection where you're the only car there and you've got the red light and you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs waiting for that light to change?
And not only that, when there are storms, some stoplights stop working.
You know, how many times we've driven up to a stoplight after a storm and you see a police officer there directing traffic? Well, you're paying that police officer a lot of money.
Sorry about the wait, folks. Here we go.
A roundabout, they just keep functioning. That saves so much money.
On top of that,
they're better for the environment. We never come to a complete stop at the roundabout. Tremendous amounts of fuel are saved.
Okay, so the city estimates that each roundabout saves about 24,000 gallons of gas each year. And that's equates to over $7 million in savings.
Okay, do we want to do a little like local government 101 here?
Sure.
That we can only do on this show?
Yeah.
With someone with my wealth of experience that I, at no charge, throw upon the masses.
Yeah.
Okay, so he gets a bad rap on these roundabouts. And it's not entirely deserved because there is merit to what he's saying about the idea of always keeping the car moving. When I first got elected, I talked to with a local law enforcement officer, and he said one of the things, whether it's the sign and zoning ordinance or roundabouts or whatever, the number one thing you can do as an elected official to ease road rage, et cetera, is keep the car moving. Mm-hmm. Because when a person is moving in their automobile, they always have hope. When a car, I mean, think about on the interstate, like if you're, I come into work 70 every day, and there are times where 70 is very slow because there's an accident or whatever. But as long as the traffic is moving, you feel hopeful that you're going to soon get to your destination.
And that's what I was trying to tell you about the eclipse last Monday when you were saying, I don't want to get stuck on the highway. And I said, well, take back roads. At least you know you'll be moving.
Yeah. That always stood at the forefront of my thought. And I was a big public infrastructure person because everybody uses it. And that's where our money should always go, is to things that everybody uses. Roads, bridges, sidewalks, water, sewer, etc. So he gets a bad rap, he being Brainerd, on these roundabouts, which is somewhat undeserved because there is merit that they serve public good in growing communities that were not designed to be as big as they've become. Mm-hmm. And where he deserves a bad rap, though, is like the architecture that goes inside the roundabout, where we're spending colossal amounts of money for displays and signage and, you know, statues. I mean, you go to the greater downtown Carmel area, there's fake people on the street, Casey. That's ridiculous. The roundabout itself is not that big of a deal. Now, is there an excessive amount of roundabouts? Perhaps. But the number one goal in terms of public infrastructure should be to keep the automobile moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they said that these roundabouts cost about $250,000 less to build, and that saves about $5,000 per intersection annually in electricity costs.
Here's the deal with Carmel, and then we'll get off this. Carmel, one of the worst kept secrets about Carmel is they actually have, from a town perspective, now when you factor in the school referendums, et cetera, not true. So your collective tax rate, not true. But from the actual city of Carmel perspective, they have one of the lowest tax rates in the entire state of Indiana. However, it's all built on a giant house of cards because most of it is backed up by, I think at this point, they're over $1 billion, well over $1 billion in terms of debt that they owe. And that is a, many people feel, unsustainable number for a community of that size. But if you choose to live there, you move in there knowing exactly what you're getting into. And if you want that, then that is your choice.
Well, I do believe that Carmel is leading the way in this area, and they've got their proof of performance, their proof of concept to show other cities. And I would guess that other cities are going to start.
And one other noticing. Thing, you can say whatever you want about Carmel. Jim Brainerd had a plan for Carmel, which is why they have a bunch of nice crap. That's what happens when cities are planned properly. Now, again, we can spend all day fighting on should the government be in the hotel business. However, when a community is planned properly, you get something that looks like Carmel. When a community is not planned properly and you have a bunch of, we're trying to be more positive these days. When you get a bunch of people who have absolutely no idea what they're doing, you get Warehouseburg, where I live, on the west side, which is we just stick high-density housing developments next to warehouses, and it is proper planning. Now, I'm not going to use the term central planning because that's insane, but the idea of this should go there, and it should go there in this time fashion, and here's what we're trying to accomplish, and here's where we're going to go. Carmel had that.
Yeah.
Places like Brownsburg and Avon did not, and look at the difference.
It's the difference between being a leader and having vision and doing things intentionally versus just being reactionary. We've got some voicemails coming up. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Hey, don't write yourself off yet. 317-684-8444. That's the phone number for your voicemails. We didn't get to all of them in our first segment, so let's return and see what you have to say, whatever's on your mind, your hot take with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So this person wants to give us their opinion on Brad Chambers, who is running for governor.
Hey, Kendall. Hey, Casey. Hey, anybody that thinks that Brad Chambers is really the outsider and is going to do anything good for Indiana in this governor's race, should just look around at where his campaign signs are. The bigger chain car dealerships and some of the car washes around and some of the big chain department stores all have Chambers campaign signs out front, which they know where their bread's going to be buttered. If he gets in there, they're going to continue to get tax breaks. They're going to continue not happen to abide by rules and everything. And they know that he's cut taxes. He's been able to give them favors, and it's all at the taxpayer's expense. And they know that if he gets governor, it'll continue the same old story that it is now. From high tax, it'll just have to come up with a new nickname for Chambers. Not real sure why anybody would even participate in the upcoming governor's race except for throwing just a vote to somebody else just for spite, because nobody really does it. But it's kind of sad that this is what it is.
Yeah. a little disenfranchised there, disheartened.
Yeah, but I think he's spot on. You look at the state of Indiana and their tax policies and what they've done and who they've helped promote. If you're a big company or business owner, you're doing pretty well in Indiana. They have the state legislature and the governor has done a great job taking care of mega corporations. We just saw with that South Korean firm that's coming to Lafayette that they're getting something like $685 million in tax incentives from the state. And I come full circle on this to say, if the growth in the state had resulted in lower taxes for everyone, I think I'd have less of a problem with it. But the reality is that all the growth has gotten us is bigger government. The taxes go. How is that possible that we have record revenue, but the taxes keep going up? And so the legislature, the lawmakers, the governor is not utilizing the additional resources to better the lives of regular people. They're just using it to continue to help the rich and the very wealthy and grow government.
Well, and when asked about property taxes and things like that, Brad Chambers has said that his answer is to grow the economy. So taxes will remain where they are, now, but he thinks he can offset it.
You know, Rainwater has this plan, and I think it's super interesting, and it would have been interesting if somebody in the Republican primary would have come up with this. His idea is to return the budget to 2017 level. And that doesn't sound unreasonable. We're not talking about taking Indiana back to the 1980s or 1990s. Simply saying we had a $37 billion budget in 2017, which is a huge amount of money for a state of 7 million people, doesn't seem unreasonable. If you were to return the state to 2017 spending levels, which isn't even all that great, mm-hmm. you would immediately free up $7 billion to help people with things like property taxes. But yet there's no fiscal discipline inside the Indiana Republican Party. And all of these people, at least the front runners who are running for governor, are beholden to special interest and big business. And so you're not going to see any of that stuff proposed because that's not how they plan on getting elected.
Okay, we've been talking about a certain jingle that we've been airing a lot on the air. There's a politician who is running and it's very catchy.
Yes. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Kev mm-hmm. on Friday, in his infinite wisdom, determined that the Raju jingle mm-hmm. May have actually been lifted from the Dayman song on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Do we have that?
Yeah. Casey,
would you like to listen to these back to back? Because I had initially dismissed Kevin as young and naive.
Uh-huh.
However, once I heard these back to back, there was quite a bit of merit to what he had espoused. Kevin.
Raju, Raju, shades of red, white, and blue. Guarding dreams for all, he believes in you.
Yeah.
Dayman! Oh, fighter of the night, man. Oh,
champion of the sun.
Sun, sun, sun.
So as you can hear in both of those,
there's
strong theme of heroism,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and it's mm-hmm. just very lyrically similar.
You know what I picture Raju doing? You know what is that famous meme of Leonardo DiCaprio on the couch with the drink, and he's uh-huh. pointing at the television?
Yeah.
That he was sitting watching an old episode of It's Always Sunny
in
Philadelphia.
That's it.
Yes,
that's what I
that's
want.
That's my ad.
That's what I want to represent me. All right, genius. Well, here's phone call number one about Raju.
Every time I hear Raju, Raju, I want to say Gesundheit, Gesundheit. Seriously, man, who writes this stuff?
Apparently, what, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Is that the show?
Yeah, I think he ripped it from them.
Okay, and Raju call number two.
Raju, Raju, we really love you. Raju, Raju, he cares about you. Raju,
yes.
Raju, he loves your family too.
Yeah, see, another thing that's so great about that jingle is that anyone can sing it.
Yeah. Right.
Good. Like, that guy's not Pavarotti.
No.
Yeah. But if you told me he was going to be singing at Madison Square Garden next week, I'd believe you.
Yeah, I like the idea that we have all of our voicemails sung.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and if you think about this, here's the real genius of what he did, and he did it by design. He's a very successful businessman. You still have no idea what his policies are on anything.
No, but you're singing that jingle, aren't you?
And you know who he is. And so uh-huh. If you don't like Goodrich and you don't like mm-hmm. Spartz, mm-hmm. well, the guy with the catchy ad, maybe I'll throw a vote to him.
All right, let's see if we can get to this phone call quickly. Brad Klopfenstein had a story about going to the Final Four, and here's a call about that.
Good morning, Rob and Casey. Love the show. Everyday listener. Got a question for Rob regarding your guest you had on a few minutes ago who received the free tickets to the NCAA final game. Rob, had you been in that position, and obviously there's a couple of hypotheticals here with work and family, had you been in that position to where somebody had called you and told you all you have to do is get here mm-hmm. to go to the game, and you were able to go at that point,
uh-huh.
and I'm clear on your Hoosier background and refusal to root for Purdue, which I get, would you at that time, however, after the national championship game being there yourself, would you have cheered for the Boilermakers at that point in particular time?
Oh, okay, this is a good question because I actually got invited to the Hamilton County Lincoln Day dinner that's coming up to represent someone else.
Uh-huh.
And if I go represent someone else,
yeah,
I'm not going to be a jerk,
yeah,
on their dollar or their dime.
Okay.
So same thing, if I had gone, I would not be a jerk and root against Purdue. But that's why I wouldn't go, Casey, because I didn't have the discipline to pull that off.
You would have been polite is what you're saying. That's nice. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm driving in my car, I turn on the radio.
I'm sure you're pretty busy out of the golf course over the weekend.
Oh my goodness, Saturday was a mad zoo, Casey.
Yeah.
I did not work Sunday because it was Sunday at the Masters, so
right.
I took that off.
Yeah.
But Saturday, yes, we started at 8 a.m. and I had tee times until probably straight through until, I don't know, 3:30.
Because you're behind the bar, you're probably not walking the course. Would that be true to say a fair assessment?
I left the pro shop for all of, and this is no joke, probably 10 minutes. I got there at 7:30. I left at 8. So what is that, 12 and a half-ish hours?
Mm-hmm.
I left the pro shop probably for all of 10 to 15 minutes, and that was at the very end of my shift, to tell two women who were taking forever to hurry it up because I would like to go home.
Not your wife, even.
No.
Hurry it up.
And they were very apologetic, and they did hurry it up, and then I got the heck out of there.
Wow, I'm surprised you worked that long of a day, for one. But you're not...
We've been through this. So yeah. This was the challenge that I had this year, because last year I worked a ton at the golf course because mm-hmm. my child had not arrived yet.
Yeah.
But once my child arrived, we had to decide, okay, how do I divide these my time up mm-hmm. best? And so we struggled with, do I work two weekend days, like an 8-hour shift, both weekend days, or do I work just one
really long shift,
giant day?
Yeah.
And so we've kind of been ping-ponging back and forth on what's going to be the best approach going forward.
That's like doctor's hours, one really long shift.
Well, I like that because I only have to get ready once. I only
right.
have to go once.
Uh-huh.
I would, in this case, have my Sundays off. However, asking a parent to watch an infant by herself
all day long,
that's a lot to ask.
Yeah, hopefully grandma and grandpa step in and help.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the struggle that we're at. But yes, I did very briefly leave the pro shop.
Well, the reason I ask is because you're probably not counting your steps then when you're at the golf course.
No.
But if you were training for, say, I don't know, a marathon, that would be really good exercise to walk around the golf course.
You ever tried to do a marathon?
Oh, my gosh. No.
Oh, wow.
Never.
Well, you're kind of athletic. I mean, you did the basketball and
yeah,
your kid was athletic.
Wow, that's a whole lot of running.
I mean, you're very well preserved for your age. I figure you do some sort of physical activity.
I do some sort of physical activity, but not training for a 26-mile marathon. The Boston
is that what a marathon is? Is it 26 miles?
Isn't it 26.1
or something
like that?
Oh, I have no idea.
Like, yeah.
You know who anger me are the people who have the little numbers on the back of their cars?
Right, to prove to everybody that they, in fact, do run marathons.
But it's like you're trying to stick it in my face, and it's like, you just have more free time than me. That doesn't make you any better than me. And how do I know you even did that? You could have just got that sticker.
Bought the sticker?
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to start doing. Just put the sticker on my car. People will think that I'm that fit. Okay, so it's the world's oldest marathon. It kicks off today. It is the Boston Marathon. It is the 128th Boston Marathon. Racers from all over the world do this.
You run on a weekday?
Yeah, it's today. They're doing it now. Right now, in fact.
They're running. On a weekday?
Yeah. It always falls on Patriots Day.
Oh.
Which is a day that is observed in Massachusetts and all of New England. And they do that to kind of, you know,
celebrate the American Revolution.
This is crazy to me because Massachusetts now is a super liberal haven and has been for many, many, many years. And of course, many of those people absolutely hate America. And I've always found it humorous that they have a thing called Patriots Day.
Okay, so it's observed in six states. And what it does is it celebrates some of the first battles from the Revolutionary War.
Right.
And it's always on the third Monday of April every year. Boston Marathon, always held on the same day. Now, if you'd like to see people run in the Boston Marathon, you can do that on ESPN2 today.
Can you imagine anything more boring than watching people run?
You think so? Well, is that more boring than people walk across a golf course?
They're not walking across a golf course. They're hitting the golf ball. They're putting the golf ball.
What if the runners had to, like, kick a ball along the way? Would that be more entertaining to you?
So, okay, so there's always, like, five people have a chance to win, and then everybody else is just wasting time, correct? Mm-hmm. That's how it usually works.
Yeah.
And so what? You stand there and you see the guy run past, and then what? Okay, we're done?
Right. Yay. Is that better or worse than the people on the bicycle? Like the Tour de France.
Well, I've always pondered this about the Tour de France, too, because that goes in the mountains and stuff. And clearly you're not, like, hanging out on the side of a mountain watching people.
Right. At least
so
scenery's pretty, right?
I understand the Tour de France on television because of the incredible landscape in which they consume and the length of the thing and et cetera. But my goodness, I cannot think of anything more boring than watching people run.
Yeah. Well, then don't turn on ESPN2 today because they'll be broadcasting the Boston Marathon. So something that I asked the dude over the weekend was, wow, where is it where it's sunny and 73 year round? Because it was so beautiful here over the weekend. And he said, you know, well, San Diego.
Right.
But how about Melrose Place?
Remember the TV show?
Yeah. Wasn't that in Los Angeles? Isn't that where that took place?
That was more of a your generation type of thing, Casey. I was very young when Melrose Place was on.
Okay, there's going to be a reboot of Melrose Place. And apparently they have three of the original actors signed up to do that. You might recall they tried to do this a while back.
No, I don't recall this at all. Why would I recall that at all? Do I look like a person, Casey, who has ever in my entire life watched Melrose Place?
Well, I wasn't sure because you say that's more of a my generation thing. I never watch the show either.
Well, look, whatever you did in the prime of your life is none of my business, but I was a child when Melrose Place was on.
Were you?
Well,
I thought this was more your generation
than
mine.
No way. That was in the 90s. How old do you think I am?
Okay. All right. So you missed out on all of that.
Let's see here. Thankfully, you can filibuster here for a second. I'll just, thankfully, in the modern era, we can just readily... what years?
So you probably didn't watch 90210 either then. You were too young for that.
No, here's the deal, though. Tiffany, okay, 92 to 99.
Wow, okay. So, yeah, you were pretty young then.
Yes! As in I was 8 when it started, Casey, or 9 or whatever.
Yeah, you were. Okay, so 90210, you watched that?
Well, I did. Okay, here's why. Because Tiffany Amber Thiessen became a... star on 90210.
Yeah.
So I started watching that as a teenage crush when she became Valerie Malone on 90210. But I did not watch the early ones, no.
Okay. Well, you can always go back and watch them. Binge watch them all.
And if you want to have a conversation, we can do this with Hammer tomorrow. We can have a debate on what was the better Tiffany Amber Thiessen character, Kelly Kapowski or Valerie Malone on 90210.
Right.
And he will give you some strong opinions
on
that.
I'm sure he will.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, if you're interested, Melrose Place apparently in the works for a reboot.
Well, hot dang.
Yeah.
Have any of these reboots worked out well?
No, none of the reboots work.
Because the one that, and I obviously don't have the it's on a streaming service, is Frasier. Because remember, there was all the big hoopla about Frasier was coming back, and I really haven't heard anything about it since...
Since it launched?
Right.
Yeah, big launch, and then it kind of fizzles
and
out.
And isn't that one of the... sort of a double-edged sword, right, with the streaming service is while people can consume these episodes en masse, if you don't have the streaming service in question, you're cut off.
Yeah, you're not going to see it at all. That wasn't on broadcast TV?
No, I think it was just on that Paramount streaming service.
Yeah, they were doing something to try and...
And, you know, I mean, Yellowstone, thankfully, like with Yellowstone, they had cut that deal with Peacock where they all, after they air on Paramount, then go over to Peacock.
Right.
But... I was thinking about that the other day, about how many things in many people's orbits that used to be, you know, doesn't mean they're not great TV shows, but they just simply don't exist, right, where you never used to have that.
Yeah. I saw an article the other day, something like, these are the top 10 shows that are being canceled this year. And I thought, okay, this might be interesting for Rob and I to talk about.
Heard of any of them?
None of them. I was like, I don't know any of these shows that were even on the air, let alone that they're being canceled.
We are in an orbit now where there are too many options. And that is never a good thing. Variety is great. Choice is great. Competition is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But there's too many ways now to consume entertainment. And the sports betting market kind of went through this when these flood of states were legalizing sports betting a couple of years ago. And all these little apps popped up.
Yeah.
And you've seen over the past couple of years, it has really consolidated back down to the major ones.
Right.
Because there's just not enough. While there's immense interest, and I think streaming's kind of the same way, while there's immense interest, if you got 30 choices, there's not enough market share, plus cable, plus broadcast television. Right.
Yeah. So you're saying, you know, many people would say that the pie is getting sliced up into smaller pieces.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I've heard other people say, no, the pie has grown.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, the country, look, there's 330 million people in the country. There's been, give or take that, legal people for, you know, quite some time. I just think there's too many options.
Yeah, so you're thinking that the pie is getting sliced up.
No, I don't have cable. I don't have cable. You do have cable.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I think it will eventually narrow itself back down to three or four streaming options, and you'll have cable television, and all maybe once again will be right with the world.
Yep. All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you for listening. This has been Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.